To have Jonathan Small with us, and he is with Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Doing good. So good to be on with you guys.
Well, it's great to have you here with us, and tell us a little bit about Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs. I know you got started back in 1993, but what was the genesis of it, and how did we get to where we are?
Yes, sir. So started in 1993 by a group of Oklahomans led by Dr. David and Ann Brown, and they had a vision for a statewide organization that would try to preserve adherence to the kind of the founding basic principles of our country, those ideals of free markets, limited government, individual initiative, and personal responsibility. So it started in 1993 in a really small building, Wilshire, and now we are located a little bit near the Capitol, have our place there, and you can the Capitol can see our building at the edge of 14th and Lincoln, and so we work every day to represent Oklahomans. You know, we really like to say, if you shorten everything we're doing, we're really trying to build a place where all Oklahomans can thrive, especially the most vulnerable and the next generation. And so we think those principles are the best way to do that, and we fight every day on behalf of Oklahomans to try to accomplish that.
I really like your website. It is OCPAthink.org, and I'd like folks to just to take a look at that. It's really pretty nice. Very good read. Several nice articles that you have up there that mean so much as we're going through today's world. Speaking of today's world with the economy and education, where are we standing?
Yeah, no, those are really good questions, sir. And the reality is that the extraordinary onerous efforts that were taken by government at the federal, state, and local level are going to have a huge negative impact on the economy. Mm-hmm. And particularly Oklahoma and states that have a significant energy production presence. You not only do you have what was done to respond to COVID-19, but then you also have this ongoing production war between Saudi Arabia and Russia. And so Oklahomans are hurting. It's part of the reason why you are seeing calls for government to try to look at some modest cuts. Because as you mentioned, you know, before you and I talked, you know, the reality is government only has money that it taxes from someone. Mm-hmm. And right now, our economy overall has a lot less income as a result of those two things. And so that's one of the reasons that's feeding into why we think it's so important that government allow Oklahoma to reopen. You know, we don't have taxes if Oklahomans aren't working. You rely on core services. And we would really like to say, you know, it's really important. You know, I know you've talked about this on your show and others. We can be just as concerned about the health of people who might be affected by COVID-19 as we are the health of families who are experiencing significant harm. And there's going to be even more if this continues on much longer of where significant parts of our economy are shut down. And that's why we are calling for Oklahomans to sign a petition and encourage their lawmakers to open back Oklahoma for work by May 1st. I mean, literally our lives and livelihoods depend upon it.
Well, that is something that I was going to get into here is the petition, and you can find that online and sign it. And it says that the working people of the state of Oklahoma call on all our state and local elected officials to begin the process of lifting all shelter-in-place and similarly oppressive orders by May 1st, 2020. And as you referenced earlier, it doesn't mean that social distancing or other less restrictive measures should be curtailed, but so the working people must be allowed to earn an honest living so we can care for our families and our communities. And goes on to say, any government-imposed restrictions should be targeted, limited, and justified by findings that they're necessary and proper within Oklahoma. And, you know, we hear about the anxiety people have of being at home and then also being afraid to even go out their their door because they really just don't know which piece of information to believe at any 10 minutes because the information seems to be so fluid. But I can tell you, and I know that you know too, that we're different than New York City by a long shot. We're different from many states by a long shot. And as far as how we've been affected, and there have been people truly affected. But I like this because it falls pretty much in through the parameter of what the governor had recently announced with his goals. Can you kind of pair us up on this a little bit?
Yes. No, you bring up some really important points, is that all of our states are going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly with COVID-19, one of the things, and it's borne out by the encouragement to participate in social distancing,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that's important for people to recognize that, you know, depending on where you live, the risk can be worse. And it's due to population density.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all need to be praying for New York. Unfortunately, they are in a position, it's so dense in the Manhattan area that it, you know, that's why at sometimes they have been half of both the, I believe, the fatalities and the cases. And it's just because the population is so compact there, and there's a lot of difficulty to get anywhere unless you're going to leave the city area there in New York City and Manhattan. And so that's why we have federalism. You know, that's why the founders thought that it was really important that you have co-equal states with the federal government so that states were okay to pursue the different needs they have. And so that's why you've seen the governor, he's taken an approach that has tried to look at, you know, his intention has tried to be, let's look at Oklahoma and the data that focuses on Oklahoma and not try to respond like you would need to respond or like a government official would feel like you need to respond in either New York or, say, I know Louisiana has become a significant hotspot, as the term that they're using. And so the petition that we called for, that is somewhat similar to the governor's ideals of trying to make sure that Oklahomans are able to work soon. But, you know, Oklahomans have got to help and push for that. And that's part of the reason why we feel like a petition is necessary. There are some calling for lockdowns for months. You're hearing this. You know, some people both in the state and out of state are calling for extensive hardcore shelter in places across the state. And so that's part of the reason why we felt like the people of Oklahoma needed to step up very recently. Casino operators in Oklahoma, the tribes implored the governor to completely shut down and shelter in place the state of Oklahoma for an extended period of time. And that's just going to harm Oklahomans. You know, it's really important for people to think about and recognize. At OCPA, we're blessed to meet a lot of people, and a lot of people have been sharing their stories, and people are having heart attacks because they can't get elective surgeries, what, you know, government bureaucrats at the health department might determine as an elective surgery. You know, I know kids, you know a story of a young man who's having significant challenges and trouble with he's losing weight because he's got a very advanced challenge that's affecting his tonsils. And tonsillectomies are considered elective. So this young man is losing weight, very sickly, and can't get a routine procedure that would affect his life. Know another person who can't and is concerned about whether or not, you know, prior to all of us stepping up and starting to say, hey, it's time to open up, was very concerned about whether or not they were going to be able to get something done with their aortic heart valve. And so, you know, these are real issues. You talk to dentists, the ban on elective medical procedures, it's very dangerous because when you allow abscesses and other things like that and encourage people not to come in, it can lead to infections. And particularly infections and in your face area, in your mouth, and near your brain, and the kinds of impacts that that has. And so that's why we've got to see these onerous mandates over, done, and finished by May 1st, 2020.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking with Jonathan Smalls, and he's with Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs. And the petition we've been talking about, it's called reopenoklahoma.com. That's where you can view it anyway. It is on that website, reopenoklahoma.com. I see where the governor has set a date. I think it's the 26th in order to put elective surgeries, or some anyway, back on the table. That's a move in the right direction. And, of course, with May 1st coming up, this is what the petition is asking, is that we responsibly open up the state again on May 1st.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's just so imperative. You know, I think one of the things that people can miss is that, you know, part of the reason why the U.S. economy is so successful is because we're relatively free. You know, we always have improvements. Your show's talked about that before. But relatively, in comparison to the rest of the other countries in the world, we allow people to use their innovation and their ingenuity to create jobs and to create ideas, which people embrace, want to be a part of, and purchase that product. It's both things that make people's lives able to live, and then things that just make people's lives more enjoyable. And right now, the way these provisions are set up, where so many people are in non-essential jobs, as government bureaucrats have called it, or they're in limbo and they don't know if they exempt. You know, if you think about this, you're a business owner, you're just trying to make it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden government says, well, you can only be open if you're essential. Well, a lot of people don't think about the immediate burden that has been created on that business operator to have to look, to have to try to determine, okay, well, am I exempt or am I not exempt? You know, do I fit in that government industry definition? Thankfully, the governor resisted the urge to have one of the most stringent restrictions in other places, shortly after he issued the first order prohibiting non-essential businesses. And, you know, within less than 24 hours, he had posted a list of exemptions. But even still, and the governor said it, he said, I feel for what we're having to do because I think about the single mom who has a job that pays a little bit less income and just doesn't have the ability to just go on autopilot without income for 90 days, you know, especially with the size of government, you know, now, today, wherein on average, you know, some groups have put out great work. Even in Oklahoma, which tends to be a lower tax burden state overall compared to the rest of the 50 states, Oklahomans still spend until about April, about the first week in April, before they break even on all the taxes that they owe on average to government. And so that's one of the reasons why it's harder for people to save. I've heard some instances of people saying, well, you know, people should have reserves and they should have savings. Well, not when collectively government is taking 20% to 30% off the top from you every time you generate income.
Yeah. Question here. How are we going to pay for the deficit since our two largest industries, you know, oil and gas, and of course, aviation right here in our area? You know, these are two that are hit harder than any of the other industries in the world, it seems.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You know, just with the bans on travel and because of the either safer at home or shelter in place, collectively, it's causing, you know, millions and millions of people to be mostly confined to their home and avoiding travel. And because of that, you know, so that's lower demand for oil and gas. Also, people are trying to be more prudent because since you have less income, you're going to try to be a little bit smart about how you use your utility. So it's not just you're driving less, you're also trying to be more efficient in your homes. And and then the aerospace industry. And so here's what's really important. So we put something out, you know, it's also good to look for the positive. You know, lawmakers in Oklahoma, the governor and lawmakers who pushed so hard for savings a year ago, you know, your show talked about, you remember, I mean, people thought it was audacious and unbelievable that the governor would say, hey, we might have tough times in the future. So instead of us spending all of the growth revenue, let's save a third of it just because we know tough times end up coming. And I know he was vilified, and I know lawmakers voted against that bill. A strong majority of the legislature voted for it, though, thankfully. And so that is actually going to help, the fact that lawmakers had the foresight. You know, it's a lesson for the future. When we have future good times, it's a lesson for the future that we need to save significantly when we see higher, once we begin to see higher revenues. And then, you know, I think that it's going to be prudent for state government to do a combination of savings and a combination of modest cuts. It's reasonable for government to take a 2-3% cut. It's going to be reasonable to look at some of the collective bargaining agreements at the local level, automatic raises, you know, probably need to be put on pause right now because revenues are going to be decimated at both the state and local level, for sure.
We're talking with Jonathan Small, and he is with the Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs, and the website is www.ocpathink.org, and also to sign the petition to open Oklahoma back up, it's pretty easy, reopenoklahoma.com. Jonathan, I want to thank you very much for being our guest today on Community Connection.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. This was great. We appreciate all you do to advance those principles and for your listeners and willingness to be active citizens. Your voice needs to be heard. I encourage you to fill out the petitions. Very easy. Just put your name and the city you live in and your zip code and then option to provide an email. And that's what's going to help us make sure our elected officials know that we're ready for Oklahoma to be open, that we're smart, we're Americans, we can have significantly cautious and wary activity as it relates to our health and try to care for those who we want to make sure don't get COVID-19, but we also need to be able to work so we can provide for our families and our lives and our livelihoods.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's do it again.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jonathan. That is Jonathan Small, and he is with the OCPA.org. Thank you again, Jonathan. Appreciate it as always. We've got more coming up right here on K1, the one you trust.